So my mom always had the most beautiful lawn on the block wherever we lived. Even when she had three small kids, we had gorgeous lawns and gardens in our front yard that welcomed visitors. One of the keys to her success was planting bulbs and doing it in a timely manner so that there were bulbs in bloom throughout the whole season. Because my mom was a young mom, she had young kids, she didn't have time to be like slaving over her garden every day, right? And so her strategy was planting bulbs for many, many years in order to get that gorgeous, curated floral garden without a crazy in-depth time-consuming hobby. I particularly love it. One year she planted like 500 tulip bulbs and she was like, it's going to be Holland next year. It's going to be Holland next year. So I invited Jenny Rose Carey. She is an unbelievable gardener. And the minute she hopped on this interview and she had hot pink glasses on and a hot pink sweater, I was like, I like this lady. She's an author. She's a gardener. She's a bulb expert. And she runs her 4-acre garden called Northview that actually has local tours available to it. And it has thousands of bulbs planted in it that bloom across the seasons, from dahlias to gladiolus to leafy caladiums. In this conversation, she walks us through exactly how bulbs work, how to plant them effectively, most importantly, when to plant them effectively, and of course, what not to do, because no one wants to plant a million bulbs and have them all turn to mush and never bloom. It's a great conversation that has me dreaming of my mom's gardens when I was growing up.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hi, plant friends. My name's Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And if you're new here, welcome. Welcome to our planty and kind corner of the internet. And if you are a repeat listener, welcome home. So happy to have you here. You're going to love this interview with Jenny Rose Carey. She's such a cutie. She's such a cutie pie. She has such a great vibe. And this was such a great conversation. Before I dive in, I just wanted to say hi and give you a quick reminder to leave the podcast a review on your preferred podcast player and 5 stars if you haven't lately. That would mean so much to me. And also, if you could take a moment to share this with one of your planty friends who might enjoy learning about bulbs, I would be so thankful. Also, I've got a lot going on in my personal life right now. I am in my 3rd trimester having a baby. We are knee deep in renovating a home that we purchased that we need to move into before said baby joins us in June. And so I have a lot going on my social media. If you guys don't already follow me at Growing Joy with Maria on Instagram and TikTok, I'm giving a lot of like real time behind the scenes stories and reels and short form videos that I can't make a full podcast about. I've been having a lot of fun over on social media. So if you're curious to see the pregnancy journey or to see the home renovation journey, and I'm doing the entire thing through a biophilic lens, please head over to your preferred social media channel and follow me at Growing Joy with Maria. Okay, enough plugging. It's time to talk about bulbs. So without further ado, here is Jenny. Jenny Rose, I'm so excited to nerd out with you about bulbs today.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to chat with you.
My pleasure. I mean, I have only ever done like one episode of bulbs on the show like 100 years ago. And I've always been curious about bulbs. I've planted bulbs before. I don't really know if I was like doing it correctly. I've seen these like epic container bulb gardens where you layer them and there's a whole thing. So we have a lot to talk about.
Okay, well, anything you like, fire away and I'll do my best.
Amazing. You are the bulb lady. So why don't we chat? You have such an amazing career and multiple books you've written. How did you become the plant lady you are today?
I've always been a plant lady. I'm very lucky to grow up in, as you can tell from the accent, a little village in England, in Kent, in southeast England. And we just had gardens all around us and you know, fields and orchards and meadows and things. So I always loved wandering the countryside. And in England, there's some little bulbs that pop up in the hedgerows and in the woods and things that are native. So they never seem scary to me. They seem part of my life. Mm-hmm. And my dad is a botanist, and I'm a biologist and a horticulturist. So I have degrees in biology and horticulture and teaching. So I'm a teacher really by training. So I like to talk about this.
That's so cool. I was going to say, listening to you say that, you know, you grew up in Britain, I'm like, gosh, my British interviewees, like, it's in your blood and it's in your culture, gardening. Like, you rarely talk to a British person and they say they're a plant killer because they've grown up with some form of like a cottage garden, or they've grown up visiting gardens. They've grown up, garden is in British culture and your blood. And then it's double in your blood because your dad was a botanist. So what type of, what did he do? What type of botany did he do?
He's still alive. He lives in England in a little town called Broadway in the Cotswolds, and he studied marine botany. So all the little one-celled little things that make up the beginning of the food chains.
Cool.
So, yeah. But he used to teach me in Latin and everything. So it's, you know, it's just, I got a real cheeky head start over there. So.
And did you have gardens growing up too that you and your dad tended
to? Little gardens. We had a little garden outside. We had these little cottages and we had a little tiny garden. So everything. And that's one of the reasons for growing bulbs. If you only have like half wine barrels or tubs or a small garden, bulbs are great because you can pop them in amongst other things. So we grew tons of bulbs, and then we had vegetables, but they were down the street in like a community garden.
Okay. And now you're the polar opposite, because when I was researching you, I was like, oh my gosh, her garden has a name. You know, someone is an epic, like, you know, someone is on a different level of gardening when their garden has a separate name. So tell us about Northview and how long you've had that property for and what the scope of it is.
Well, actually, I've been here 29 years now. I've been in America 39. So, you know, I came when I was a wee baby. No, I didn't. I came in my 20s. So, you know, I've gardened on both sides of the pond, as they say. But this place has sucked me in. It has a history. You can check out my website, jennyrosecarey.com. You'll see pictures of it. And so it was owned by a Quaker family who built the house, and they had 100 acres. Luckily, I don't have all of that. I only have 4.5 acres. But the trouble is, having grown up with cottage gardens, I want to make the whole of the 4.5 acres look as full of flowers as my tiny pocket handkerchief garden growing up. Mm-hmm. So there's the challenge. That's the challenge. So it's fun. It's a nice place.
When you bought the property, was it planted like a garden? Like, did the Quakers, the previous owners, really cultivate it, or it was really a landscape for you to go crazy with?
Well, the interesting thing, so it's built in 1887. So whatever was there very early on probably isn't there anymore, apart from the trees. So I have gorgeous trees, and I'm in Pennsylvania, and a gorgeous bit of Pennsylvania where rolling hills and, you know, like 47 inches of rain a year. So trees grow tall and wonderful, like oaks and sweet gums and things like that. So when I got here, there were a lot of trees and a whole lot of what we call invasive plants of every type imaginable. Mm-hmm. In England, if you buy an old garden, you always have bulbs that pop up through the lawn, tiny little patch of snowdrops and maybe a daffodil or two, but that was it. But I've rectified that situation by planting thousands and thousands. So, you know, I just have been having fun. Yep.
So what does Northview look like now, the 4 acres? Do you have separate gardens that you've kind of carved out? Is it really more viewed as one large garden with different pieces? Like, what was your approach and how has it evolved?
Well, it's in the true English garden rooms style that some of your listeners might have heard of. So basically, instead of having one cottage garden, I have divided it up and made one bit that's fenced in here. That's one garden with a theme, and then another one and another one. And they're all linked together with walking paths. And then the big trees are still there. So I've got shade gardens. So I've got a cutting garden. It's a little excessive. And I do have help, because people are like, how the heck can you manage to do all of that? I don't do it all myself. I have lovely Hannah and lovely Joe. So we work together.
Oh my gosh, they must learn so much from you. What a dream job. That's incredible. So what bulb installations do you have at Northview specifically?
So we start the gardening year with snowdrops, and then we go to the rock garden iris, and then we go to probably overlapping with crocus, and then we go to daffodils galore, because they are very good if you have deer and other browsing herbivores. So I have a lot of those. And so I have a lot of daffodils, and they span the season in my garden from, you know, sort of March through to the very beginning of May. Different ones come out in sequence. Mm-hmm. So I buy very early, early, mid, and then late. So, you know, they go in order. And then tulips, mostly in pots, because again, they're very edible. And then I go on to all alliums, the, you know, the big ball-like ones that really have presence in the garden. And then we go into gladioli, which I'm a big fan of. They're very spiky ones. And then probably another highlight of the garden is all the summer bulbs. So things like mainly dahlias in my garden, but there's cannas and there's galtonias and all kinds of other things. You know, there's a lot to choose from, and they're all slightly different and funky, but they all are very, very easy. So don't worry, you know, your listeners, don't worry. They're really easy to plant. You just like put them in, follow a few simple instructions, and they, you know, give them water, plenty of water. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Now, are dahlias a bulb or a tuber?
So my new book has the title of Bulbs, because as a botanist or a biologist, there are all these different types of underground storage units that are sort of, they all have the same function. They all store food to put away for the next growing season. So mm-hmm. for this book, which is aimed solidly at gardeners who want to make their gardens better, or even beginner gardeners, what you need to know is, we don't really care if they're a tuber or a rhizome or a tuberous root or a true bulb or a corm. We don't really care. As long as they do what I'm describing to you, put them, hide them under the soil, whether it's in a container or in the ground, put some soil over them and water them and, you know, wait. They're all, I call them all bulbs. Gardeners tend to just say they're bulbs, you know, so okay. Don't get hung up on it.
So with your dahlias, are you digging them up at the end of every, yes, before every winter? Okay, because my first impression of a bulb is something you grow and then it's kind of a perennial, like a daffodil, like it comes back every year. But it sounds like this is a little bit more of an expanded definition of bulbs.
Oh, yes, because I couldn't, you know, I could have just done the ones that you're talking about, but the book is in two parts. Mm-hmm. So there's the ones that you plant in the autumn, mm-hmm, that have a dormant, actually two sort of dormant bits. Well, they're dormant after they flower in, so they flower in the spring and they're dormant, resting under the soil where you can't see them for all of the summer, all of the autumn, and all of the winter. And if they are perennial in your zone, then they'll pop up again the next spring. Mm-hmm. So they are perennials if they are hardy in your zone. Mm-hmm. If there's not too much hot in the summer and not too much cold in the winter, they'll come back. Mm-hmm. And then the summer ones, depending where your listeners are and where they're gardening and what zone they are, some of them are perfectly hardy year round that bloom in the summer, and they will come back year after year. They're things that you might see by the side of the road down in your area. Some of mm-hmm. the, you know, the amaryllis and things like that that I've seen in Louisiana that are just like, I wish I could grow them outside. They are on my kitchen windowsill right now. So, you know, we all have to have our tricks. So all of my summer bulbs that are not hardy are in my garage, and they're wrapped up in layers of newspaper, or some of them are just in their potting compost in a pot, and I just drag them into the garage, sort of stop watering them, let them have their dormant phase. And then when it gets warm outside, I'll drag them back outside, start watering them again, and they pop back up again. So I just make them have a, you know, a Florida winter in my garage.
I love it. Do you grow them in pots if you're going to be bringing them in and out? Or are you putting like your dahlias in ground?
So both this year, because we have a big wedding. My friend's daughter is getting married in my garden in September.
Oh my gosh.
No pressure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've known her since she was born. So I love her dearly. And I love my friend, obviously. And so she's given us her color scheme. So I bought way too many dahlias, including at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. I bought a whole suitcase more, you know, just in case I was short. You know, my husband was like, "Are you sure you need all?" I'm like, "I do. I have to grow flowers for Celeste's wedding." You know, it's going to be. So I bought half wine barrels. I mean, going to put some in there. You know, they are thirsty plants, so you need a big container. They won't do well in a little tiny wee thing. Same with cannas and a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. And then I have raised beds. Most of them for the summer ones, they do need sunshine. You know, they're not little shrinking violets that you can put under a tree. They have to be out in the full sun. You have to treat them very nicely and probably stake them because they're going to get big because I'm hoping to cut armloads of those, you know, arrange them all over the property.
See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shaken espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your you know, grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manukora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand. And it has bioactives in it that have three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is one heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850+ Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. So check it out at Manucora, manukora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts. Celeste is so lucky. That's incredible. Oh. So when we talk about bulbs, and I'll just call myself out, you know, when I was like, oh, it's a spring episode. Let's talk spring bulbs. No, spring bulbs get planted in fall. The spring. So when we talk about bulbs, if we say it's a spring bulb or a summer bulb, that's when it blooms. But yes, the thing that bulbs can be confusing is that you're not planting it like your tomato plant in the same season that you're harvesting that tomato or a zinnia seed, you know, where like you're planting that zinnia seed and you're getting that zinnia seed in the same season. Yeah. There's this dormancy. So can you talk us through the cycle? You kind of went through it with Northview, but talk us through.
So the bulbs that we grow in our gardens, generally, all of them, dahlias, you know, cannas, all of those things, come from places where part of the year isn't very good for growing. Mm-hmm. So their response to either not enough water, not enough sun, not the right temperatures is, let's just use all the energy from our leaves, send it back down underground and rest. So then when the year comes round again and the cycle comes up, the conditions improve and it says, now I'm going to sprout. Mm-hmm. So then it comes up, does its leaves, does its flowers. And then if it gets bad weather, back it goes. Mm-hmm. So yes, divide the year into two. So let's start from the spring bulbs coming up in the spring. So those are all the daffodils, tulips, all those things that you know, up here in the mid-Atlantic, we're like, give me spring, give me spring. You know, they're the ones that we just cannot wait for. And they sort of come out and then they will wither down. But you have to let those leaves wither down if you're going to save them for the next year, because mm-hmm. that's the process of renewing that bulb. Mm-hmm. And then the next lot, as soon as it sort of gets to the last frost date, which is around Mother's Day in the mid-Atlantic, mm-hmm. you know, and further north or south, you have to adjust it. But that's all online. You can look it up. Then I can start putting out my dahlias, my gladioli, my cannas, all of those sort of ones. They grow merrily while it is nice and hot.
Indoors?
I do, yes, okay. Especially for the wedding, because I want to get a jump start on it. Not always, but this year. This year we're in full production mode. You should see how many seedlings I've got going down there under the lights, you know, because I've got to grow all the annuals and, you know, amaranths and zinnias and cosmos and all the things. So those summer ones are fine until the day length starts getting short. So there's not enough sunshine. And usually, you know, sort of after Labor Day, they stop really producing hugely. You know, they're fine for another 3 weeks, 4 weeks, depending where you garden. And then, you know, just they sort of start slowing down. It's like, you know, autumn slowness. And then so I know I'm going to start watching for that first frost that I get. And then I'll leave them in the ground, the dahlias, this is specifically to them. And then I will wait till the frost, it's a very sad day, blackens the tops. Mm-hmm. And then I'll chop them down to about 6 inches, compost the rest, and then wrap them up in newspaper and bring them in. And I check them about once or twice a month, you know, maybe every Saturday. I'll just poke them because you don't want them too wet. It's like the onion in the vegetable drawer. Too wet, any of those bulbs will rot. Too dry, and they won't be alive by the time you put them back in. And then while I'm digging up the dahlias, I'm probably planting tulips in those same holes. So there are some tulips that I use as annuals. They're the big blousy ones that I want more for a cut flower or something, or a photo shoot or something. And then so those will go in the same holes that the dahlias are in. And then once and done with those ones, and they're out. But my little species tulips, I tuck in rock gardens. I'll tuck, you know, by the side of a hedge, by the side of a fence, right up by my driveway. You know, they just get
so whimsical and beautiful.
They're everywhere. I mean, I really do, you know, like, and I can't resist. So even if I've bought, you know, hundreds, a couple of hundred of a certain thing, and they come in a big box, and then I just happen to be at a store that has bulbs for sale, and then another 50 might come home with me in my pocket, you know. So it is a serious addiction. So this comes with a warning, this whole bulb planting business. But
well, it's pretty cool because you can make a really low maintenance garden with bulbs if you pick your selection well, like the way you pick multiple different types of daffodils. Like you could have your garden in bloom from March through November just with bulbs. Yeah. And if you forgo the dahlias, like if you make sure that whatever you're planting is a perennial, you don't have to do much because you're letting it grow and die back every.
Yeah. And if you are in warmer climates, your dahlias will come back without you taking them out. So all you have to do with them, so say you're in the south, the southeast in particular, southwest, no, southeast, all of those south bits, a lot of people leave the dahlias in the ground. And then they'll just mulch extra, you know, if you get some cold weather, put extra layers of wood chips or leaf mold or compost on top, sometimes with a little chicken wire ring so that it just keeps it, you know, it's like a warm duvet or comforter over them for the winter. So a lot of people do that if they're hardy. I have had one come back once and it was an entire accident. And the name of the dahlia is my absolute strongest one, and her name is Bahama Mama.
So, okay, Bahama Mama. I love that. So she overwintered in your zone,
like that's seven. Impressive. Yeah,
that's very impressive. So today we're talking about summer bulbs because this is getting released in spring, so it's planting time. So let's talk about summer bulbs first. So what's available to us when we think about summer bulbs?
Summer bulbs. You have so many, and you have half a book full. Sorry, wrong way around. You have half a book full if you, you know, like to look. So let me just dip into it. So for shade, you have things like the leafy caladiums. Those have and they do well in Florida and all the way down through the south, but they're fine as a container plant in particular, all the way up through to the northerly areas. And I do tend to start them off in a pot, just because they are slow to get going. So some of these ones for the summer are more from a subtropical area. So they're not native to my mid-Atlantic. They're not native to the north. They are native further south. So you're really trying to trick them into thinking they live in Louisiana. Yeah. So you're going to give them warmth and you're going to give them lots of water. And the vast majority, particularly of the summer bulbs, are water hogs. So don't plant them where there is no tap outside, or you can't drag a, you know, a drip irrigation thing over to them or something like that. And if you, again, if you're planting them in a container, give it a nice amount of root space in your container.
Okay.
But you can pack them in. I mean, you know, they just like to have places to go down with their roots. While we're on leafy things, how about the elephant ears? And those really, you know, you know where you see those growing, and the cannas, often in slightly boggy areas, you know, so they really, they like almost constant moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they can get huge. You can find dark leafed ones. You can find ones with gorgeous patterns. And the same with those caladiums that we're talking about. You can find white ones, ones with red
speckled
veins.
Ones. They have incredible varieties of caladium now. Yeah.
Yeah. They've really come along, you know, in the last 10 years. And I think breeding out of Florida has found some ones that are more sun resistant as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look for sun caladiums and shade caladiums. I particularly love the white ones because I do plant those in the shade. Otherwise, they fry up even for me. So yep. I like them in a container with some white flowers, you know, some bacopas or maybe some plectranthus that picks up that white of the leaves or something like that. And a lot of your houseplants can be mixed in with them. And, you know, you can take cuttings.
That's exactly what I have. I have a container outside with a Norfolk Island pine, which is a houseplant. And the caladiums are kind of fillers, but they're the perfect size when they grow. And they are perennials here. And then I have like a trailing ivy and a hotura in there. And it's a beautiful.
How did I know that? How did I know that?
How do you know that? So, but I think that's good. It's a good point, too, that you don't necessarily think of bulbs as leafy, but caladiums are in, I mean, they're in every floral arrangement, too, now, you know, so that's really cool. What about some flowers?
So for flowers, I mean, they went out of favor for a while, but I love gladioli.
Yeah.
Gladioluses, some people call them. And they, you know, they are in the dramatic, they're in flower arrangements now big time. But when I was growing up, they were just for funerals and, you know, and everyone thought they were so, you know, granny's flowers type things. But, you know, now I'm a granny. You can have gladiolus. So,
I love that.
So they come in an amazing range of colors, and there's short ones and then there's tall ones. So the primulinus ones or nanus, N-A-N-U-S or nana, that means small. So they don't tend to flop over as much. And again, you're growing it from the little bulb-like corm that is only this big. Whatever you have, whether it's a pot or anything, you can just tuck those things in. They just go, say you've got other plants growing in a window box or a big tub. You just sort of literally make a little hole, bung them in, and they come up with sword-like leaves. Green, lovely. They're nice in themselves. And then this spike comes up and you can either cut it if you just want the green leaves in your tub, or you can just leave them, you know, coming up. I call them sort of grow through plants, because if you put them through something like that has a like a spidery like structure, they'll come up and that will support them. If you're growing them in a garden, you know, grow them between catmint and salvia and all those other things. So they're more of a sun lover. They'll do better in the sun. And then dahlias, as we've been talking about, they're, you know, my ultimate one because I use a lot of cuts.
Daria.
Yeah. But you do have to be prepared to stake them, because if you look at how tall they are, some of them are 4.5 foot, you know, tall, and they will flop over if you don't put a nice big stake in. Mm-hmm. So how I do them is some the big tubs, but mostly in raised beds like you would vegetables. But you can grow them alongside your veggies, like in a row, as long as they get sun and water. And, you know, in terms of fertilizer, I just add lots of compost. And then when we remember to fertilize, which we will have to do this year, you know, then they get some multi-purpose, more leaning towards the last two numbers on the bag, not the first number, which is nitrogen, but the second two numbers, the P and the K, because that's for roots and flowers and general health. So in the same way as when you take your vitamins, you say, I want something for my nails. You know, you're going to think, what do I want? And I use like organic kelp meal is good. I use, you know, bone meal, any of those old fashioned ones.
Yeah. Shout out to Espoma Organic as a partner of ours, and they have bulb tone.
Yes. I love that. Yes.
specifically formulated for them. Okay, so pretend I'm four and I've never seen a bulb before. And I'm a four-year-old who really wants to know how to plant bulbs. What is the like 101 bulb planting guide for in-ground first before containers? Like, what do we need to know to plant our bulbs? I see people on Instagram with augers and with, you know, the drills that they're drilling holes and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which sounds and looks really cool. But what do I need to know about planting bulbs successfully?
Okay. I think that's for Instagram, just saying, and for a little bit overkill. I did actually one time buy one of those drill things. I have never used it.
Me too.
So, yeah, but I just think it's overkill. And I mean, I think it's a barrier to entry. My whole approach with gardening is make it simple, make it easy. So I actually have a soil knife that I use for most of my planting. I have a big step-on shovel for the big ones, but the soil knife has like inches down it so that for not so much for the summer bulbs, but for the ones that you would plant in the fall, you usually take the height of the bulb and then do 2 to 3 times that height. Okay. So you're quite deep, you know, like a daffodil will be down 5 or 6 inches and a tulip would be 8 inches down. But, you know,
you're digging a deep hole to get those tulips
in. Yes, the tulips really need to go deep because the further down you go, like that's why I grow in raised beds because it's easier to dig, you know, lazy gardener over here. Mm-hmm. But the reason they do better down there is at 8 inches or even 10, the ground stays more equitable in terms of moisture and like temperature. Mm-hmm. So they don't get those shocks. If you put them close to the surface, the top of the soil gets very hot and it dries out. So if you get it nice and deep down there, and they do find their own level. So they're very good at finding their own level. But when it comes to summer bulbs, often I don't really go so deep on those. The gladioli would be deeper, maybe 6 inches, something like that, 5-6 inches. And the dahlias are deeper. But for things like the begonias, like are on the front cover here, which everyone lusts after, that one's called Lemon Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So those are quite shallow planting, and I will start those indoors. They're like a flying saucer, and you want to put it like a saucer with the saucer bit upright, and out of that saucer will come some little white sausage-type things. Those are the shoots. Don't break those off. So you're going to just put those in a pan of potting soil and cover with like an inch, and then watch them sprout, and those little white sausage things will turn green as it hits the daylight. And then as soon as the temperature has warmed up outside, then you can plant them in your containers or where you're going to plant them. But please don't put them out when there's a chance of frost or anything below 55, 60, because as I said, they come from warm areas. So if you put them from your nice warm kitchen windowsill out in the garden and it's only 55, they're like, eek, eek, you know, and they do not like it. So it's sort of like, would you feel like sitting on the ground? Okay, when you feel like you can sit outside on the ground day or night, that's when you can put them out, but not before.
That's a great rule of thumb. Is there like an up and a down to most bulbs?
Yes, there is. Good question, little four-year-old. Yes, pointy end up if it has a point. So daffodils and tulips are quite, you know, you can tell which is the up. And sometimes they'll have just a little bit of shriveled root on the bottom. But, you know, like when you look at an onion, you know, a cooking onion, you can sort of tell which is the up. So that sort of thing. Some of the other ones like anemones, the little anemones, they're just like a hard little knobbly, you know, brown black thing that just is like, no way am I going to know which way this is. You can soak them for about 6 hours or so in tepid water. And then sometimes you'll see the beginnings of a little shoot. But otherwise, you just put it in the ground. So if it's this big, you're going to cover it 1, 2, and say lots of luck, little bulb. And, you know, if it comes up, it comes up. But those are particularly difficult. But, you know, if you don't know, just bung it on its side and it'll usually figure it out itself because it wants to grow and you
want it to grow. They're programmed to figure it out. You'll just see that this shoot grows all the way around the bulb and shoots up.
Yeah. So,
okay, this is fascinating. Something that happened to me once when I was living in the Catskills in Zone 5A was I planted a bunch of bulbs. I don't know. I just like bought a bunch of bulbs at the store. I didn't really know what I was doing and I planted them. They didn't come up the first year, or if they did, just their greens came up. And then the following, so I thought I failed. I messed my bulbs up. And then the following year, they came with flowers. And now I'm like, I've since moved, but I'm like, gosh, I wonder if there's even more now. Yeah. So is that normal?
It can happen. And I think most of us are not going to notice if it's just green leaves. Mm-hmm. You do think you failed. But, you know, the whole adage with gardening is try again until something works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I am not afraid of failure. I mean, yes, you might lose some money out of your pocketbook, but, you know, it's like I really, really want to, if I'm persistent, you know, I'll get something to grow somehow. I'll mm-hmm. talk to people. I'll read books. I'll look online. But do beware online. Some of it isn't right. And, you know, like back to the augers, I don't, you know, unless you're planting in very tough soil, you don't need to do that. And the other thing with the planting is dig one big hole and then put some in there in that one big hole. And with a regular, you know, big old shovel of any sort or spade or whatever you dig with, you can normally dig a nice like 5 or 6 inch hole and then you cluster them into some attractive shapes rather than, doesn't have to be just a blobby hole. It can mm-hmm. be a nice, you know, like more graceful ribbon or something mm-hmm. like that. But you can also plant another lot on top. So like the little tiny bulbs that we didn't really talk about that will be coming up in spring, like the grape hyacinths and the, well, crocuses we mentioned, but lots of those little ones. If you're planting,
are there little ones for summer?
Let me think. There are a few little ones, but I don't. Well, begonias can be little. Those mm-hmm. little begonias, and I love them trailing over the front of a window box or something like that. Yeah, there are a few little ones for summer. Little cute things, but they do tend to. They tend to be a bit bigger and a bit bolder. I've just flicked past lilies, and we forgot to mention lilies because most areas of the country can grow a lily or two, and there's some native ones that mm-hmm. are absolutely delightful. But, you know, it's as long as you really just think what you might be able to grow in your area of the country, think whether you have sun or shade and can provide a well-drained sort of area. And another tip is for the drainage. I know we're all over the map, but you can put a layer of sand or grit or gravel right under the bulb because that bulb really, yes, or okay. in a container. So I use a lot of what's called chicken grit and okay. it's for chickens eat it. Apparently they must be crazy, but you know, it helps their digestion or something. And I just go to the feed store or something and you get a whole 50-pound bag if you can lift it. You know, so I just mix it in with my potting compost and lighten it up because bulbs, I mean, the enemy of houseplants, as you know, is overwatering, and the enemy of bulbs is definitely overwatering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it has to be moist, but well-drained at the same time, which sounds like a stupid statement. It sounds like you're a knucklehead, but, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have enough of that organic matter in the soil to hold on to the moisture enough to go into the bulb and make it swell and grow. But at the same time, it can't be sitting in a puddle.
And just turning into mush.
Yes.
So you're recommending to dig one hole and plant all your bulbs instead of dig an individual hole for each bulb. Just making yep. sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
Yeah. That's why I don't really like the augers, because when the bulbs come up, then it might be fine in grass or something like that, because mm-hmm. each one of those, say daffodils, let's go back to daffodils that you plant in the autumn. You know, you've got a big planting in a public garden or something, and you've got helpers to dig the holes, and then another person follows along and puts it in the thing. I don't usually do it like that, even though we do plant a lot in grass. I usually will dig, you know, at least either 6 or 12 inch hole. And then if they're the tiny little wee bulbs, I could still fit 25 in there. But when they come up, it looks like something. You know, the larger the bulb, the more likely you are to do a onesie. So like one canna, you know, mm-hmm. one dahlia, that's fine. But, you know, as soon as you get those little ones that are just this big, one of those,
right.
It's like, where are you?
For sure. What are the differences of growing bulbs in ground versus in containers that people need to know about?
So in a container, They're more likely to dry out quickly, as we know, with containers. Same with your houseplants. So you have to be on the watering or have drip irrigation or something. Then that's why I keep saying the larger the better. Large window box, large tubs, you know, they don't dry out as fast. And they are, you know, more likely to get very hot if you put them right in full sun and it's a dark colored. So that's sort of the enemy of a bulb or something. If it's like, I am a big fan of terracotta, which I know doesn't work in all areas of the country. But for me, that does breathe. So air goes in and out of it. And even though some people think the color's a little harsh, I just make sure I'm growing, you know, like a nice colored pink and that orange, not so much, but all those oranges and yellows and reds look really good in them.
Mm-hmm.
So other things with the container. So watering is the main, temperature changes is another. And obviously they can't get their roots down into your soil. So you do have to fertilize those. And I do use, you know, little and often with the fertilizing. I had a garden helper once really reinforced. I am like the laziest and I don't fertilize very much. But for containers, you do have to do it. Instead of, I do read the instructions and then I don't follow it, because what I do is half of it, but I do it little and often rather than, you know, like if it says once a month, I'll probably do half of it every 2 weeks and just sort of keep it up more like that. Because to me, it's more like, you know, like if I'm taking back to vitamins, either I take my month's load of vitamins on, you know, the first of the month, or I'm just like little. And I do make sure I put some compost and use it to mulch the top of my containers. So especially your homemade compost or leaf mold, I do mulch the top of a container with it. So, and then it has that nice trickle down just a little bit. You're feeding the soil and then the soil is feeding the bulb, and it's more holistic to me.
Got it. So what I see in containers with bulbs that look so cool is this ability, because also you can go deep easier, right? Because you're
using
potting mix, you know, you're not using hard rock soil. So you see these lasagna combinations of bulbs where you can time kind of what we talked about, like you can have something in bloom in that container almost all summer long if you plant them at the right depth. So can you walk us through how to do that with bulbs? Because then you're kind of getting multiple bangs for your buck almost with that container.
Yeah. I actually tend to do bulbs and other things. So back to like your window box with the caladium. So I will put the caladiums in. I'll maybe get them started and then I'll go out and say, what else can I have with it? And then you start looking at your houseplant and saying, I'm going to tuck that fern in there, or I'm going to tuck that begonia in there with it. So I tend to do it for the summer bulbs, which we're primarily talking about. I tend to be more of a like, what else do I have that I can tuck in with there, or go to the store specifically, knowing I've got a shady container, or knowing I've got a sunny container, and, you know, tuck other things around it. Because, you know, like if you've got a dahlia, say, you know, these flowers we're growing for the wedding, one big dahlia is going to take up most of that big tub. But I might be able to get some like Thumbelina zinnias to go around it, or I might be able to get some celosia, you know, that I've grown from seed around it, or I might just poke some seeds around it on top of that when it gets going. So I tend to just play it by ear. The one when they tend to talk about it, the lasagna planting for bulbs, is in the autumn. And you will put the tulips down the bottom because they are the deepest. And then you would put a bit of soil, like an inch or so. And then you would plant your daffodils next. And it's a bit like, if I can do it with my fingers, a five on a die. So if you've got the tulips and you put five tulips, then you can easily fit four daffodils in those spaces. And then maybe a couple on the outside. And then a little bit more soil. And then some of those little grape hyacinths or something to top it off. So it's basically, if you look at the sizes of the bulbs and say, okay, tulips down the bottom, daffodils and maybe hyacinths next, and then all the little ones, crocus and things like that on the top. And that just means that you have a nice...
And you're going to be able to know that intuitively because, like you just said, the size of the bulb depends on the depth of how much you're planting. So the tulips are going to be the largest bulb going deepest. And, you know, they're getting closer and closer to the top of the soil based off of their size.
But just remember tulips at the bottom. and then you'll be fine.
And go
tulips at the bottom. Yeah.
What areas of the garden do you find being the best options for bulbs?
I just grow them all over the place.
That's what it sounds like. You kind of touch them everywhere.
Yes. I always say to people, make sure you put most around your, wherever you go in and out, garage door, kitchen door.
So you can enjoy them.
Yes, because they are little beauties, especially for the spring bulbs. You know, they aren't necessarily huge. So you want them, and I have a sort of very ugly raised planter thing outside my back door. And, you know, I can already see the little things coming up in there. And so they're right there. So when I go in and out, I'm like looking at them and, you know, enjoying the shoots and everything and then the flowers. So by the back door is the best way. If you have a deck or a sitting area for your summer bulbs, that is where you should put them because, you know, it also gives you and privacy. And then, you know, a lot of them encourage pollinators. So you'll see the hummingbirds coming to the cannas and things like that. You know, so I love them where I'm going to be. So if it's sitting, you know, put some there, wherever you're going to be. Swimming pool, put them around the pool, you know.
Are there fragrant bulbs that you like for the summer?
Yes. Okay. My favorite one for the summer is one called the summer hyacinth called Galtonia and another one called Polyanthus, which is a, if I can, just pulled up fragrant bulbs. There's a whole thing on fragrant bulbs. So there you go. So in the spring is hyacinths and then in the summer, tuberoses as well. So summer hyacinth, Galtonia, and then tuberoses. Some of you may know it for perfume.
Beautiful.
So they're a bulb. And then the picture I showed you is my Scheherazade lilies. So some lilies aren't fragrant, and my husband is very grateful for that because it makes him sneeze. But I love the fragrant ones. So it will say on the packet, fragrant or not fragrant. So look for the fragrant ones if you love that fragrance. And the interesting thing is it does seem to attract particularly night blooming moths. So if you're out in the evening, I can only imagine this nice summer's evening, you might see all these really cool moths coming to pollinate your bulbs.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'll never forget. I asked because you said pool, and I'll never forget. I was swimming in a friend's pool once, or my mom's friend's pool, who is an amazing gardener. And she landscaped the pool so that it had fragrant plants around it. So anytime you swam past, I don't remember what the plant was. I don't think it was a bulb. It was, I don't remember. But every time you swam past it, you got this like unbelievable hit.
Wow. Yeah.
And in my next garden, when I move, I really want to explore fragrance more. That's just such an overlooked sense of ours that we should be leaning into more.
It definitely is. And I sort of blame Instagram because I love Instagram with the 100%. Photos and things
it's
like that.
You say that.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't, how many times I'm like, I wish I could show you what this smelled like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're very into what things look like and what people look like, you know, but the smells are important.
Totally. What are the biggest mistakes you see people making with bulbs?
Well, we covered planting them upside down. So
yeah,
pointy end up. That's the main one.
Overwatering them.
Watering so that they rot. But they're easy. They're really very easy. They're not, you know, some of them are expensive, like a big lily might be expensive. But, you know, most of the time you get a bag of 25 of them. And so if only 17 come up, you know, you feel like you're on a winner.
So, and I feel like they're always on sale at the garden center or like the tractor supply company. Like if you're smart, look, like get the bags on sale and then just get them in the ground, you know?
Yeah. One thing with gladioli, I did remember that's a funny thing. So say you're at one of those stores and you find a bag of 25 gladioli. And then you make a whole row along your vegetable garden. You put them all in. They all come out on the same day, you know, all bloom at the same day. So then you want them for cut flowers. So you've got to cut the whole lot and bring them in. If you plant half 1 week and then half the next week, that might be a good suggestion. So they don't all bloom on the same day.
Planting, because they're all around the same time that they get planted around. Okay, that's very good. Very good
but
advice.
There's not much you can do. Just one other point is instant gratification. I'm always into that. So I was at the grocery store the other day and I saw a little pot of tete-a-tete daffodils. And of course, it had to come home with me. So, you know, then when the daffodils are outside, I will find a little space that looks like it needs a couple of little tete-a-tete daffodils and pop it right in. So then the next year, because it is hardy, it will come right up again. Oh, and it will.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, with the best will in your world, when you're going to plant your spring bulbs in the autumn, you're like, I don't remember where I put them last year. But mm-hmm. you can do the cheat, you know, and go and get ones. And hyacinths the same. You can often find a nice pot of blooming hyacinths. Buy them when they're in bud so you can watch them grow and expand. Beautiful. And there's another fragrant one for you.
That's a great tip. So, you know, I feel like Trader Joe's does this. So
yes.
Like you can always buy great yes. bulbs, you know, daffodils, whatever, early because they force them early.
Yes.
You can enjoy yeah. them when you're stuck inside yep. for the winter. And then it's time to plant them in the ground anyway. Yep. So you get, once again, bang for your buck, two for one special.
Yeah.
Well, you are such a treasure trove of knowledge. And I'm sure everybody is going to want to go look at your property's website and find you. So where can everyone find you? And also, where can everyone find your bulb book in case they want to use your expertise to grow bulbs this year?
Well, it's published by Timber Press. So mm-hmm. anywhere you find bulbs, so it's The Essential Guide to Bulbs, Timber Press, last October. So it's very, you know, new book, you know, online, local bookshop. I always love a local bookshop and Arboretum, you know, lots of public gardens are carrying it. So any of those places. And then my website is my name, Jenny, with my rose, like the flower, Carey, Carey, and .com. And you can see my garden. You can see what else I'm up to. And I give lots of lectures around the country. I do Zoom lectures. So if you have a club that you would like to invite me, I will come visit you or do it on Zoom.
Chapel. Yeah.
Yeah. And what else? Up my Instagram, Jenny Rose Carey, and Northview Garden. That's just one garden. So, and I'm going to get better at doing it because we've had a snowy winter up here and I'm like, I don't want to show another picture of snow. So when the flowers start blooming, I'll get more enthusiastic about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. Thank you so much. This was a jam information packed episode. I really appreciate it.
I hope it wasn't too much, but you know,
no,
we can talk all day about bulbs, but something for everyone, I suppose, is the other message. You know,
absolutely.
Do your homework and depending whether you want fragrance, color, sun, shade, you know, spring, summer, you'll find something.
Totally.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. All right, plant friends, I hope this has you sprinting to the nursery and buying all of those bags of bulbs. And I hope they're discounted. There's nothing better than being at the nursery or, you know, the store and seeing a nice bag of discounted daffodil bulbs. That's the greatest. I always like clean house when I see that. So I hope this has you thinking about bulbs. Definitely check Jenny Rose Carey out. She's so cool. Her garden at Northview looks amazing. I hope to visit it one day. Everything is linked in the show notes. And of course, until next time, keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.